This is Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil.
For years, it was not my custom to pray in the morning, except at breakfast time. It wasn't that I had anything against it. It was just that I'd learned from my childhood to say prayers before I went to bed at night. Experience through the years, though, has taught me otherwise. I believe if an angel were to come down from heaven and tell us that we could only pray one time during the day, of course this would never happen, we should choose the morning. You see, the prayer at the end of the day is what we offer when the damage has already been done. We've made our mistakes. It's the time to be sure everything is in order again. But the prayer at the beginning of the day is the winner's prayer. It's the prayer that puts us firmly on the Lord's side. Then when temptations come during the day, we don't have to wait for a minute to decide whether we're going to yield or not. Now, someone might ask, how long should we spend with the Lord in the morning? Well, if you've not been spending any time at all, well, then even 5 minutes would be great. I'm only kidding. Personally, I'm motivated by the words of Jesus when he asked his disciples if they wouldn't pray with him just 1 hour. He might have meant at least an hour. But this brings up a practical question that many people ask, and that is, how in the world can a person pray for a whole hour? And that's a good question, but it has a practical solution. You see, spending time alone with God is not intended to be a one-sided conversation. It's a time for contemplation, for meditation, for inspiration, and also for spiritual education. It's a time in which we devote all of our attention to looking at life from God's perspective and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us into the likeness of the divine. Now, one thing, of course, we do during the hour alone with God is that we pray to him. That means we verbalize our thoughts either in spoken words or in our minds. But another activity could be to write a prayer. There's a justification for this. If David hadn't written his prayers, we wouldn't have the Psalms. We've all had the experience of writing letters to people. Friend, if you haven't yet written a prayer to God, I invite you to do so. Some people have said they like to do that because it helps them to keep focused. Sometimes when I write a prayer to God, I will simply find a meaningful psalm and copy it. I have on occasion written verses from Scripture in my own words. There are times when I write to him more formally, using all the biggest and most elegant words I know. But then there are other times when I write to him as his boy, and even sign the prayer, "Your son, Dick." I do want to be his son, in whom he's well pleased. Now, something else we can do during our quiet time is to read the Word of God. Now, I prefer to think of this activity as reading rather than studying the Bible. I read it for sheer enjoyment and inspiration. Have you noticed if I pass the morning newspaper to you and invite you to study it, you may say you don't have time. But if I pass the morning newspaper to you and invite you to read it, you'll probably say thank you. Can't you see the psychological difference between study and reading? There's a time for everything under the sun, and our communication time with God may not be the best time to study, if you know what I mean. Now, another thing that I've found relative to reading the Bible in the morning is that I personally don't try to read the Bible through. Now, surely there are many people who make that a project and are blessed by it. On the other hand, others start off on a journey through the Bible, and when they get to the book of Leviticus, they bog down, and the trip may very well stop there. I read the Bible during my quiet time to enjoy it. I look for something that warms my heart. Many have found that in the morning the Psalms can be especially meaningful, although the Gospels are equally inspirational. Now, another element that many employ during the quiet time with the Lord is writing a journal. Some call it a prayer journal. There are many ways to write a journal. I personally found it most useful to record in it my spiritual journey. I use the journal as a method of retrospect or looking back. In my journal, I reflect on occurrences with spiritual implication that transpired the day before, or I write about an issue that's on my heart for that day. The journal then becomes a place to reflect and to express in writing my questions, as well as possible answers that occur to me as I contemplate a particular matter. I've even solved some spiritual issues of enormous importance to me in my journal. You might even say that I meditate through my journal. Now, many people also keep a prayer list. Through the years, I've kept what you might call a short list that I make up each day. And my list doesn't get longer and longer, but it tends to reflect my burdens for the particular day. Of course, I have things I pray about the same every day. I pray every day for my children and grandchildren. Then I keep two notebooks, one to write prayers in, and the other as a journal of my spiritual journey. Also during my quiet time, I read some of the great classics that have to do with prayer or practical aspects of the Christian life. These books inspire me and educate me. There's a large number of books to choose from, of course, but I don't try to read anything and everything out there about prayer. I try to read books on praying to be rather than praying to get. Of course, it's a matter of personal preference, but I want to know the deep spiritual implications of prayer, and so I'm attracted to books that focus on that aspect of prayer. I especially appreciate the writings of E.M. Bounds and Andrew Murray. There are so many different things a person can do during an hour alone with God that there may not be enough time to do them all every day. But this is not bad. Too much of a routine can lose its meaning after a while. And one of the goals of the quiet time is to enjoy it. Our time with the Lord should be fresh every day. The subject of prayer is very deep and very wide. It is wonderful the way the Lord will bring prayer to our attention in so many ways in these important days of Earth's history, if we will but keep in tune. God is answering prayer in marked ways around the world. We rejoice when we hear accounts of the way the Lord is answering prayer. But yet, my friend, Jesus has told us that the primary purpose of prayer is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we're not doing that, if we're praying only to get, some of the answers that we do obtain may not be from God. Antivirus programs, as you probably know, are software that's installed on a computer to detect and destroy computer viruses, which are programs that have been designed to damage the computer's memory, or in some way to afflict the person who's operating the equipment. The virus protection program runs in the background while the computer is on. Any program that's introduced from outside the computer then is analyzed by it. And if it's determined to be a virus, a warning sounds, and the virus is eliminated. You know, I've often thought that this is what the Holy Spirit is to do for us. When we have established a real prayer connection with God, though we may not always enunciate it in words, it's going to be like a kind of an antivirus program running in the background of our lives. And then when temptation comes, the Holy Spirit will alert our conscience to the imminent danger, and we will quickly lift our voice to the Lord for deliverance. Then we'll know firsthand the meaning of the words, "deliver us from evil." As we pray that the Lord will change the hearts of our loved ones, it's conceivable it could take years for us to see that prayer answered. Yet, as we are praying for their salvation, our lives will be one of continual personal surrender and victory. Once we understand what prayer is, we can never pray for the salvation of someone without being saved ourselves in the process. We will discover that as we pray the Lord to give victory to our dear ones, we will ourselves be experiencing the victory that we are requesting for them. It's been correctly written that prayer is the key, and it is the opening of the heart to God. Prayer is first and foremost about the heart, the hearts of those who pray. In the past, we may have used prayer to try to change the world. Friend, now it's time we used prayer to change ourselves. Someone asked me one time if it's not selfish to pray for yourself. I replied, it depends on what you're praying for. If you're praying to win a beauty contest or the lottery, that would be a selfish prayer. But if you're praying that the Lord, through His Spirit, will cleanse you of all selfishness and pride and bitterness and resentment and love of the world and lust, and in its place give you the fruit of the Spirit, oh friend, that's not selfish praying at all. What we see as God's purpose for our lives will determine the focus of our prayers. The Bible tells us God's purpose for our lives. And you know His purpose for your life happens to be the same as His purpose for mine? And that is that we become like Jesus. The Scripture says in Romans 8:29 that we be conformed to the image of His Son. When the focus of our prayers is that we ourselves would be like Jesus, then we will experience firsthand the meaning of the promise that if we seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, all the rest will be added unto us. Then we will understand the promise that all things work together for good to them who love God. You know, if Peter would have prayed, he wouldn't have denied the Lord. You know, prayer would have prevented what David did. Oh, the good news is prayer did protect Joseph. He said, "How can I do this great thing against God?" Prayer saved the three Hebrew children. Prayer saved Daniel. And my friend, prayer will save us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this wonderful gift of prayer that You've given us. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to open our hearts in such a way that Your grace can flow in and that Jesus can change us in every way. We pray in His name.
You've been listening to Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil. If you'd like more information about this program, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651.